been learning to lean for quite a while, and I have a lot more to learn. Let's read together from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. There's one more verse that should go there, but let's read what we got here anyway, and I'll read verse number 8, all right? Thank you. Let's read it in unison. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. And this is what the last verse says in Ephesians chapter 5, the verse that we're looking at this morning. Ephesians, all right, here we go. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Please be seated. Now, I have a few minutes here this morning because Jane is pulling the plug and she's leaving early this morning. So I've got time restraints. I've been forewarned. And that's fine. That's fine. Everybody will be happy about that. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject, the fact that you, Jane, and you, Bill, and all of you, and everybody, you are loaded to the gills with potential. Did you know that? You are loaded with potential. God says that. Now, this passage we just read is kind of actually a little bit discouraging because it points to the darker side. It talks about immorality. It talks about impurity. It talks about evil things, about things that we ought not to be part of. But I want you to get the big picture. We're going to continue on from this passage today into next week. I decided Friday to divide this message up into two parts. As you probably would have guessed, I usually have 3 points in a message. So we're going to have 3 points. But today we're going to just look at the first 2 points. And next Sunday, we're going to look at the third point. But guess what? There's 3 points in that third point. All right. Just so you know. But this morning, I want us to talk about being loaded with potential and how God looks at us, how God sees us. You know, I used to be told that I was not much good for anything. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My dad was an alcoholic. And I remember hearing him many times tell me, as a kid, you're really not much good. Because his idea of good was being out working in the woods with the horses and out in the barn working with the animals, the cattle and the farm animals, doing farm chores. And I was more into books. I was more into studying. I was more into reading. And when I became a teenager, I became interested in spiritual matters, going to church and hanging around with young people at church. And I remember him telling me, you're no good. you're not much good for anything. And you're not going to amount to anything. That hurt. That was painful to me. That was something that was a bad memory of being a child and being a teenager. And, you know, I began to believe that almost. I began to think, well, yeah, no, I'm not much good at all. And then, you know, Christ came into my life, and life took on a whole different set of circumstances at that point. And I believe that God was calling me to ministry. And I went out and got myself 3 degrees. And I remember a year ago, before my dad passed away, back in 2014, when I was at his bedside in the assisted living facility in Inverness, Nova Scotia, he said, you know, I'm proud of you, what you did. Because you were the first one in the clan to go to college. You were the first one to get a degree. You were the first one to graduate. And he said, I'm really proud of you now. That did my heart good to think about that. I wished I would have received those words earlier, but I believe that still something supernatural was behind it, and God was going to work things out in my life nonetheless. I have fallen into the trap, tragically, of repeating some of my dad's own mistakes a few times, even on my children. And I've told my children, one of my boys especially, I told my son once, and I really regretted it, you're really not going to amount to much. That really hurt me afterwards. And if there's anything I regret about being a parent, was repeating some of the same things my dad told me when I was a kid. That's what I regretted more than anything else. And I've repented from that, and I've always tried, from that day on, when God revealed that to me, I've tried to be positive, and I've tried to be affirming. You know, God says there's a lot of potential in each one of us. And as he looks at every single one of us here this morning, he says, you are loaded with potential. You're loaded with potential. Now, I know there are preachers that preach that message about prosperity and potential. And I'm not talking about Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn or any of these TV preachers or anything like that. I'm talking about what God says. That if you are a redeemed child of God, and if you're walking in the light as he is the light today, God says you have potential. And so he calls us in verse number 1 of Ephesians 5, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children. Do you love your children and do you love them dearly? Well, I love my children and I love them dearly. More now than I ever used to. Now that they're young adults, I ask the question, well, where has the time gone? And I just wish I could see them all back and running around my feet again like they used to be. Those were wonderful memories. And so Paul says, be the imitators of God. As dearly loved children, a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I want us to talk today about how we can begin to tap into our full potential. To live the kind of life that God has not only called us to live, but that he has equipped us to live. And he is encouraging us to live by his Spirit. That he is empowering us to live. And that he has promised is ours for the taking. Yes, they're yours for the taking. They're mine for the taking. And all we need to do is receive them and accept them by faith. Paul says, be imitators of God, though. What does that mean? What does it mean to be an imitator? Well, I know when my kids were little, they used to imitate me. They used to imitate me. And eventually you'd see them doing some of the things I have done and saying some of the things that I've said. Today when they imitate me, they're making fun of me. Giving me a hard time. But I asked that question this morning, are we imitators of God? What does it mean to be an imitator of God? Do we imitate God? Do we imitate Jesus Christ in our daily walk, in our daily lives? That is a question that's open for interpretation, I guess. I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, this is pretty intimidating. Imitation to master. I sometimes feel this command is just a few levels above my pay grade. That it's impossible for me to imitate God. How can I imitate the one who inhabits eternity? How can I imitate the one who is all perfect and all knowing and all loving and all gracious? How can I even try to imitate God when I have so far to go my own self in my own walk, in my own ways, in my life? But I want you to realize that when Paul gave this command, he wasn't being merely idealistic. He was saying to them, to his readers in Ephesus, that you have the potential to do this, so do it. That's what he's saying to them. He's not telling them that they're perfect. He's not telling them that they've made it across the finish line. He's telling them that they have wrapped up within them, not because of who they are, but because of who God is, they have the power and the potential to be what God wants them to be. And that's what God's message is for us today. I could come here this morning and I could pound the pulpit and I could condemn sin and I could condemn anybody who has, been in the wrong place at the wrong time and all this immorality that we see references to up here. I could pound the pulpit on that. And I could be negative and I could just help you come to the realization that, maybe the best thing is a guilty conscience. I'm not here to give you a guilty conscience. I'm here to tell you that God has a better way. That you don't have to walk in darkness. That you don't have to walk in immorality. That you don't have to live and have your life wrapped up by the things of this world that will destroy you. But there is a better way. Because God sees potential in you. God has something planned for you. God has a purpose for your life. And it's a good purpose. It's a good thing. I have plans for you, God says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I have plans for you. And so, this is what the Lord is telling us. Number one, of who you are in Christ. And number two, of where your potential can take you. An important distinction that we need to make. When I talk about becoming the person God called you to be, that word becoming might be a little misleading if you don't fully understand who you are in Christ. And how are you going to know who you are in Christ unless you understand what God says to you in His Word? How are you going to know who you are in Christ without studying the Scriptures, knowing what God says? You may have an idea of what God thinks. Some of you are here today saying, well, God thinks I'm a loser. Some of you may say here today, well, God thinks I'm a sinner. Yeah, He's right there. We're all sinners, but we're saved by grace. Some of you may be here saying, well, there's no hope for me. I have nothing to offer, and there's no way my light and my testimony can really make a difference in this world because I just have nothing to offer. God says, uh-uh. God says, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. That you are loaded with potential. You're loaded with potential. Now, I told you how my dad talked to me when I was a kid. And there may be some of you here this morning that can identify with that. But I also had some other people that counteracted that. I've had a couple of professors in college that says, you're going to make a great preacher someday, a great pastor. Well, I said, thanks, but I don't think so. But he said, yeah, you got potential. You've got great potential. I've had others mentoring, people who have mentored me down through the years, fellow pastors, men and women in the church, places I've served, places I've been, who have come alongside me and have encouraged me and have just kind of allowed God to use them in my life to show me how special God has created me to be. Not trying to toot my horn or anything like that, but I'm saying that you and I have potential. You see, it's because of who you are. It's the core of who you are. That it has been long since settled on the cross. You see, it was settled the day, the very moment you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because from that very moment that Christ came into your life, the Bible says that the old has passed away and the new has taken over. You become a new creation, a new creature. That's why baptism has such a beautiful symbolism, that the old has gone, that the new has come. You've died to sin, you've died to death, you've died to all these bad things you see up here, and you've been raised into new life to the glory of Jesus Christ. Not because of who you are. Not because of your good looks. Not because of what you wear. Not because of the people you hang out with. Not because of the places you go or anything like that, but because of who Jesus is. Because of what he's done. For that, you can give thanks to him today. You see, I can come down on you today and say, oh, you should not be in those places. Oh, you should not take part in this or that or anything else. But I'd rather say you are a new creature in Christ. I'd rather say you have potential in him. I'd rather say that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And it's come for your benefit, and it's for the glory of God. Paul also said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith. Not by sight, of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. And then there's today's text that says, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Look back at Ephesians 2, verse 1. Paul says this, As for you, that includes me. That includes every single one of us here today. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. That means you had no hope. That means you were a spiritual corpse. You were a dead muffin. That's not a good way to say it, but you were dead in your transgressions and sin. In which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time. We were there, you were there, I was there. We're there all the time, actually. But we're different. We're different because we're God's children. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. The wrath of God was upon you. Hell was your destiny apart from Christ. because he did not live in your life. But now, but look what verse 4 says. But God. And when you put that word "but God" in there, it makes all the difference in the world. It changes the picture. It becomes a whole new picture. But God, who is great in his love for us, who is rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions and sins. I just love this. The book of Ephesians is one of the best books in all of Scripture. I say that about all of them, but this one in particular. You were dead, and now you're alive. You're now alive in him. And so, the final thing is where your potential can take you. What does the life of a person fully engaged in God's light looks like? We're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks. What does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to let our testimony really shine forth in our community? What does it mean to allow the light of Christ to flow in us and through us to the people we hang out with all over Bodenham, wherever we are, in our work, in our play, wherever we are? Well, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, Paul says. And those words, good, right, and true, are beautiful words. You know, I told you about Dunkin' Donuts this morning. Now, I don't know what this person was trying to do. She was a beautiful lady that looked at me, and I think it might have been because of my necktie that I wore this morning. That's why she bought my Dunkin' Donuts for me. I don't know. Could have been. Don't laugh. But yet, this was, I think it was a believer in Jesus Christ who was saying, let's make it a positive world. Let's bless someone today. Let's make someone else's life better. And that's where the action is, my friend. That's where God can use us. That's where it's beautiful. That's where God comes in. And so the question is, how do we get there to where we are the light of the world? We get there because when we look at what we're going to talk about next week, of what it means to walk in the light and be the light, as God has called us to be the light. And this world needs more light, right? This world needs more hope. This world means people who are imitating God, right? Not just putting on some kind of a show, but imitating God in a real, genuine way. We're going to talk about that. Now we got 2 minutes and Jane's here, and she's going to leave in 2 minutes. So let's pray, and we'll have our closing song, and I think I might be right under the wire here. Father, thank you for your word, that's truth. Thank you for reminding us about this important area of potential, that we are loaded with potential, and that we have it in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, if there be one person here today that has never truly accepted Christ into their lives to be their Savior, that today would be the day that they would find him and know the fullness of his love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to sing the last song here this morning.